Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meets. I am Pastor Dave. That's Pastor Jeff. And we are from Revolution Church, which is located in Salina, Kansas.
Sunny Salina, Kansas. As we're recording this show, it's like 107,000 degrees outside.
Well, you can take the thousand off, Jeff. Not a thousand.
It feels like it. Well, today we're talking about the church, why the church matters, what the church is and what the church isn't. If you don't go to church right now, you're going to want to hear this show because you might have some misconceptions about what church is and why you should or shouldn't be in one.
Right.
And this actually will affect your eternity when you get to heaven in the face of God.
Right. I do have a lot of people, as I'm sure you do, come to you and say, hey, man, why do I have to go to church?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I believe it's important. I mean, it's not like the church itself or like any church, any particular church will save you, but it is the fact that you are being around people that can tell you when you're doing wrong, people that can pray for you, people that can basically enlighten you and help you actually along in your walk.
Okay, so. Well, that's been our show for today, so we'll go ahead and end right there. Thanks, Dave.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Shortest show in history.
So if you already go to a church, this is going to be a reminder about what church is not. And sometimes when you go to a church, you actually make the mistake of thinking, you know what, the church should be doing this for me or doing that, or what it's doing now isn't right. And you know, this is about why we have church, why you absolutely have to be in church, and why if you're not in a church right now, you're sinning and doing evil.
You don't want to do that.
You're not going to want to miss this. It's also going to answer some questions that are important. TruthRevolution.tv is our website. Right, TruthRevolution.tv.
Yep, Truth past shows, Truth Shots, and you can donate.
All right. Tom Nelson wrote a book called Ecclesia. Dave, can you say that word?
Ecclesia.
Very good.
Thank you.
Very good. And this is a Greek word. A lot of people pronounce it wrong. Mm-hmm. They say Ecclesia, but it's Ecclesia. Ecclesia.
Didn't you just say that? Dave, can you say Ecclesia? Yes, I can say Ecclesia. Thanks, Jeff.
I was helping you out. I was just helping you out.
All right.
You're a smart guy, but I don't want you to look bad.
Well, never mind. We can talk about this later.
The church, the book Ecclesia was written by a guy named Tom Nelson, and he talks in the book about what the church is, what it isn't, because the word Ecclesia is the Greek word for church. It's the word that Jesus used for church. And he actually gives four views that people have of the church.
Right.
The first one is this.
The church as a gas station. It's a place where we cruise into once a week when our tanks are getting low.
That's right. You're feeling low, so you come to church so that hopefully you can get a little higher, feel a little better. Another way you see church is number two.
The church as a movie theater to escape our problems for a while and be entertained. We expect when pulling into the parking lot that an enthralling experience awaits us.
That's right. And normally when I talk to people at Revolution Church, they're like, this is the one that our church feels like sometimes. Like it's an entertaining, it's interesting. I know the sermons are going to be engaging. I'm going to love it when I'm there. The music's good. Everything's interesting. The hour and 5-10 minutes goes by like boom, just like that.
Right.
And so that's another thing that people see church as. Then there's number three.
The church as a drugstore, dispensing just the right prescription or therapy that will somehow fix us. Something to relieve the deep gnawing pain.
That's right. You've got pain and you want the pain to go away. So you come to church hoping that a prescription will be given to you. Not drugs, but something to fix it. And then there's the fourth view of church.
The church is a big box retailer. A place to go that is safe and clean. A place that has everything we want under one roof. Well organized and easily accessible. One that offers great service at low price, all in one stop.
Low price, like whatever you want to give, it costs nothing. Big box retailer, obviously Walmart, has everything you want.
Right.
And so the church should have everything I need for my spiritual growth and for my family's life. And that's another view of the church. Now, Dave, these four views, are any of them what the church should be?
No.
No, absolutely
not.
None of those views are acceptable to you. So if you're thinking of the church as a place that you go to when you're low, or as a place that should just be, you know, entertain you or fix the pain inside of you, or a place that offers everything you should need for spirituality, Some, you know, I'm going to add, then you're thinking of it wrong. I'm going to add a couple others.
Okay.
Some people think the church is a charity. The churches exist to help poor people get money.
Right.
Churches exist to pay my bill when I can't pay it. Or things like that. That's another reason that is just not, that's not what churches exist. So what is the deal with churches? Well, to understand why the church exists and why you actually need to be at one and why if you're not at one, there's something going wrong. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, okay?
The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone.
This was the Garden of Eden, okay? Mm-hmm. Adam was in the Garden of Eden all by himself. He had no wife, had no Eve.
Right.
And God says, it's not good for man to be alone. Now, what's of particular interest to me in this verse is that God had just created the world. There was no sin, no problems, no pain.
Right.
And God looked at this perfect world with all the perfect animals, a perfect man, a perfect situation, and said, not good.
Right.
It's not good because he's alone. We're not supposed to be alone. This isn't about sex or marriage. Mm-hmm. This is just about relationships. We're not supposed to be alone. So we start with this premise that people aren't supposed to be by themselves.
Right. And I think that's actually the only place in that whole creation thing where God said it is not good.
That's right. Except for when he created the Denver Broncos.
God didn't create the Denver Broncos.
You got that right. We know who created the Denver Broncos.
Oh, boy.
Man, you set that one up yourself.
I walked right into it.
You walked right into that. Thanks. All right.
Appreciate
Hebrews
that.
Chapter 10 says...
I'm on strike.
No, I'm just kidding.
All right. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another.
Okay, so Jeff. Okay, Dave, I love you very much. You're a very gifted person, despite the fact you like the Denver Broncos created by Satan. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 10 tells us very clearly that the reason we exist is to encourage one another and to not give up meeting together. We are supposed to be meeting together, working together, coming together, just like God created us in Genesis chapter 2 to be together.
Amen.
So it's not just that you're not supposed to be alone. You're also supposed to be with people who encourage you in your spiritual life. And every once in a while, you run into someone who says, well, I have people who encourage me in my spiritual life. And when you're talking about someone who encourages you spiritually, you're not talking, we're not talking, Scripture's not talking about someone who says, you know what, I'll pray for you. Or, you know what, God's okay with this. We're talking about people who hardcore know who you are. They know what God wants out of life. They know Scripture, and they can tell you what is going on in your life, how it contrasts and compares to Scripture and what God wants for you, and whether or not you're following that path. This isn't just pastors. These are people in the church who can look into your life and talk to you about it.
And I think it's important to note also that anybody can find somebody to encourage them spiritually, you know, whether it's in a good way or in a bad way. There's people in our lives that are more than happy to give us some kind of encouragement.
Even if it's not true encouragement.
Even if it's not true encouragement.
You know, God's fine with you right now, just as you are. He doesn't want you to change. I think God just wants you to be happy. Go ahead and divorce your, or go ahead and murder your, go ahead. Well, you just, go ahead and root for the Broncos. Like, God, just do whatever you want.
Right.
Right, we're not talking about someone who just says God wants something for you. We're talking about people who know Scripture, know Jesus personally, and can say, here's what I think God would say about your situation, and that you can talk to as well about that.
Right, amen.
The book Ecclesia, again, Tom Nelson writes this.
Recently, someone said to me, my family doesn't attend church. Our family does home church. I didn't say it, but I thought, what an amazing family you must be to have all the spiritual gifts needed for growth and mission under one roof.
Yeah, so not only in Genesis chapter 2 were we created to be with people, and Hebrews 10, not only were we created to be with people who can encourage us and know Jesus, and we're supposed to meet with them on a regular basis, actually have a meeting with them and talk about where we are with Jesus, we also all have a spiritual gift. If you believe in God, if you believe in Jesus, he's given you gifts and abilities that are to be used for other people in your spiritual realm of influence, in your church.
Right, and we all fit together like a puzzle or like a machine, I guess, if you will, because, you know, you take one part out, you're missing something.
And if you've only got 4, 5, 6, 7 people in your life that can speak to you spiritually, who you can sit down and have really good spiritual conversations with, you don't have all the spiritual gifts probably functioning in your life. I had someone tell me once, I have all the spiritual gifts. And I looked at them kind of funny. They're like, no, I'm serious. I do. I have every single one of them. I was like, oh, okay, I don't think that's true.
Right.
Nobody's
a very well-rounded individual.
Nobody,
they are a church.
Nobody has every single gift that a human could have. Nobody does. And you need a group that's larger than just a few people to have every single gift that can speak to you and work in you.
Right. And I think that kind of viewpoint, when somebody says that, they really need to think and start and actually read the Bible about what it says, that the gifts that God gives us is so that we can work with each other and be a part of the body.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. Okay, and then we get into 1 Timothy chapter 3. It says, although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing you these instructions so that... Now listen, because this is the word of God talking, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. Okay, scripture. A prophet wrote this, writing from the Holy Spirit, from God. And he refers to the church not as a place to go to get filled up, not as a place that you need if you can't find God elsewhere. He says the church is the pillar and foundation of truth, not a.
Right.
Not a pillar of truth, the pillar of truth. And if you reject the church, you are rejecting the pillar of truth.
Amen.
It also refers to it as God's household. If you reject the church, you're rejecting God's household. Now, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to go face to face with God and say, God, I believe in you. I just didn't like your household and I rejected the pillar of truth.
Right.
Christ also refers to the church as his bride.
I was just about ready to say that.
Yeah. That my bride, you can't come to me and say, Jeff, I want to hang out with you. I just don't want anything to do with your wife. That's not how it works. Mm-hmm. That's not how it works. You can't come to God and say, God, I like you. I just ain't willing to hang out with your wife. I don't want the pillar of truth and I don't want to be in your house.
Right.
That's not how it works, people. If you want God, you want to go to his house, you accept the pillars of truth, and you love his wife. That's the church.
Amen.
And the church is where all of us come together. We uphold the truth together. We make this God's house as we live and work together, as we are designed to be together with other people in Genesis chapter 2 and Hebrews 10, encouraging one another, meeting together, working together.
Preach it, brother.
The book Ecclesia by Tom Nelson says this.
We must remember that the context of 1 Timothy is the local church. So what is Paul saying? The local church is anything but optional.
Boom. Anything but optional.
Yep. As a pillar and support of the truth, the local church is essential. As a foundation, the local church must be strengthened and supported, not abandoned.
That's right, Dave. All right.
I really wish we had some deep echo on that so I could say not abandoned.
Wait, say it again.
Not abandoned.
There we go. All right. Okay, so when the Bible uses the word ekklesia, it's actually, it's a Greek word that came from somewhere. Do you want to know where it came from?
Sure.
Okay, well, you're going to have to wait to the other side of the break for me to tell you. I'm not going to tell you right now.
That's just mean.
But I will tell you this, that the word ekklesia was never used for religious purposes. It was, the word church didn't refer to religious things until Jesus used it that way.
Really?
So we're going to look at what Jesus actually took a word. It was a business word and a meeting word, and he applied it to religion. And so we're going to look at this is massive, by the way. If you don't get this, if you don't get anything else, I want you to understand what the word church actually means.
Okay.
Because this will change your viewpoint of church and why the church exists. Okay, I'm going to say it again. When you understand what the Greek word for a church really was from, where it was from, it will change how you understand what the church is supposed to be, and therefore it will change how you interact with the church. If you don't want the truth, don't listen to the second half of the show. But if you want to know what reality is and what God expects of us, then listen to the second half of the show.
Let me give you a hint. You want the truth.
You want the truth. Okay. Also, we're gonna do a listener question and Bible contradiction if we got some time. We got some really good questions. Two or three questions have come in. You want to get the Truth Revolution TV, truthrevolution.tv, because we answer every question that comes in. And I also just want to make a little plea for a second.
Okay.
We've been having a little bit of a hard time financially, and so we're trying to make some decisions about what radio stations to stay on, which ones to go off of, and we're looking at KSAL, maybe 11:50 a.m., maybe we can't go on there anymore. So if you think that's something that's important to you, we'd love to hear from you and hear if you're able to help us financially on that.
Right.
We just always have said, God, as long as you want us on radio, make sure that people are hearing this and being changed, and make sure that we have the funding. Now, we hear from people, we know you're being changed, mm-hmm. but the funding's not coming in right now. So we're thinking, maybe this is God, and maybe we're supposed to go off the air. But if it's not, we need to hear from you. So, all right. Truthrevolution.tv.
That's where you want to get.
Revolution Church.
Yep, revo.church is the website.
And we'll be right back after this break.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
One skeptic gave reasons to reject Jesus' divinity. A major point was Jesus' failure to recruit anyone from his own family.
Well, it's true that at one point Jesus' family thought he was crazy.
Mark 3:21 tells us when his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind.
But it didn't stay that way.
The book of James was written by someone pretty important.
I'll say it was written by Jesus' brother. One whole book in the Bible was written by a family member of his.
James says he is, quote, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. James 1:1.
Think about what it would take to convince you that your brother or sister was God.
It would take a lot.
No kidding. And it took a lot for James. He initially didn't believe, but after Jesus' death and resurrection, he appeared to James, 1 Corinthians 15:7. And that made all the difference for James.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
Or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, this show changed my life, I love Jesus.
Then consider a donation.
You can visit TruthRevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give, give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going.
Why should you go to church?
You know, Jesus said we should be the church.
But before then, the word church was used for business meetings. If you were there, you were part of the church because you were doing the work.
Jesus didn't say, hey everyone, show up for an hour and hang out.
Not at all. He said, be my church.
Meaning, if you follow me, you should get together with other people who follow me and work together. So church is us coming together to do God's work together.
www.revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O.church. Do you know, or are you, a woman between 18 and 22 aging out of foster care or without a place to live?
If your goal is to continue your education, whether it's a college degree or GED, the Hope House may be the place for you.
Located in Salina, Kansas, Hope House is a beautiful home, providing not only a place to live, but a place to grow.
As a program of the Ashby House, Hope House provides dedicated volunteers and staff members who are there to help you accomplish your goals.
If this sounds like it might be a place for you or someone you know, please visit hopehouseks.org.
That's hopehouseks.org.
Why should you go to church? Part 2.
You probably have a lot of people in your life who you care about and they care about you.
But imagine that relationship being God-focused. Not just talking theoretically about them once in a while, but seriously.
Both of you loving God more, asking each other, hey, what did you learn last week? And challenging each other because you know that you can both be what God wants you to be.
That's part of what churches do.
Come on out to Revolution Church.
www.revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O dot church.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back. I don't feel like doing the radio show today. I don't feel like going to church on Sunday. I don't feel like going to work on Monday. I don't feel like going home.
Well, okay. What are you going to do about that?
I guess I'm going to change my attitude.
Why?
Because I need to actually go to church. I need to go to church to learn how to live. Okay? I need to go to work to actually afford to live. And I need a place to live, so I'll go home.
And you need to do this radio show, so I'm not sitting here talking to myself.
Right.
Who would I make would be fun scary. Of? Who would I make fun of?
Didn't you tell me before the show started that you weren't going to make fun of me today?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Okay. Well, plead the fifth. You go ahead.
Okay, so I told you that I would tell you what the word ekklesia means. Mm-hmm. Ekklesia was the Greek word for business meeting. And Jesus took that word and applied it to his religious meetings. Let's read what Tom Nelson says in Ekklesia. The Greek word for church here is?
Ekklesia. Ekklesia was used widely in extra-biblical literature.
Okay, extra-biblical literature means writings that weren't scripture. Right. They're not in the Bible, right? It was just normal people writing, and they would use the word ekklesia,
Oh, I thought that was like extra biblical. It meant it was even more so scripture.
Like super
scripture, right? Anyway, it was used widely in extra biblical literature of the day to describe a public gathering, an assembly of people summoned by a herald or town crier. Here in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus employs this word and attaches to it a special significance, God's redemptive community.
Okay, so religious places never use the word ecclesia. It was for when someone would like cry out, hey, come, we're going to have a town meeting. We're going to have a business meeting. Mm-hmm.
Business meeting. So he took something really, really boring and made it something really, really important.
Well, and he says, I want you to be my business meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like you people, I created people to work together. I want you to meet together on a regular basis. And now I want you to be my business meeting. So when Christians are gathered together in a certain spot and they're working together, this is ecclesia.
Right.
Okay, so when you think of church, you're not supposed to think of church as a place I go to feel better. It's not a place that I go to get charity. It's a place, you know what the church is? Primarily, the church is a local gathering of Christians who are committed to each other and meeting together to do the important business of God.
Bam!
We're getting together to do God's work together.
Right.
And if you're refusing the church, you are refusing to do God's work with God's people, and that's a problem.
It's beginning to sound like a problem now. It is. You said it like that.
That's why I say when you aren't participating in church, it's a sin.
Right.
Because you're saying, you know what? I don't care what God says about getting together with his people. I don't care what God says about doing his work or his mission. I'm going to do it my way. Someone's like, you know, I have church when I go fishing. No, you don't.
Right.
That's bull.
Right.
You do yourself when you go fishing.
You know, I've even had somebody tell me that they have learned everything that they need to learn about the Bible and about God and stuff like that. And I'm like, that's great. You know, if I mean, even if that were true, and you know, I'm going to go ahead and pretend that maybe it is.
Sure.
Why aren't you turning around and helping the other people out in the church?
That's right. The point of learning, the reason we learn and teach each other at church isn't mm-hmm. just because we don't know things.
Right.
It's because we're constantly reminding each other, this is what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to be people who do the work of God, who help each other know God better, who push each other to be closer to God. And if you're not being with people of God, doing the work of God, on mission for God, helping other people be on mission for God, then you're not doing what God wants for your life, and you're missing what he has for you because you've purposely rejected God's plan.
Right. Use it or lose it.
That's right. Feel like, if you feel like, man, he's like more angry on this show than usual. That's because it really annoys me when people think the church is just like a hangout session.
Right.
Or a play. You know what? The reason I go to church is to get filled up. Like, no, you're missing it. You've missed the entire point of church.
Mm-hmm.
You go there to learn and to worship God so that you can become the person God wants you to be, so that you can help other people and yourself do God's work.
Right. Jesus implored us on multiple occasions to love one another. How can you love other people when you're only there to be loved and to be filled up?
That's right. Okay, we're going to do Bible Contradiction now.
Bible Contradiction.
All right, Bible Contradiction today. Brought to you by infidels.org.
Oh, infidels.org, we love you.
Well, they do supply fodder for us on many
on a regular basis.
Right. Okay, so were there many languages before the Tower of Babel, or was that where it actually split? Well, it says in Genesis 10:5 that by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue in their family and in their nations. Okay. However, Genesis 11:1, after the Tower of Babel, says, before the Tower of Babel, and the whole world was with one language of one speech. So what was it? Were their speeches divided before the Tower of Babel, or is it all one language and one speech?
Okay. So chapter 10 of Genesis, mm-hmm. it says, these guys spoke different languages.
Right.
Then in chapter 11, it says, everybody had one language.
Right.
Which seems like a contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just read it, we're going to use our cracked acronym like we always do.
Okay.
The second C stands for credibility. So easy. You just read this. Why on earth would a writer say everyone had one language after they already said people spoke different languages?
Right.
It's not because he's contradicting himself. It's because he's explaining what happened.
Aha.
He says, hey, and all these people have different languages. Oh, by the way. at one point, everybody had one language, and here's what happened.
Right.
That's all he's saying.
Okay.
I mean, it's the simplest.
So it's in the full telling of the story. Basically, you don't want to leave any details out. They decided to throw that in there, and everyone was of one language, and then this happened.
Exactly. It'd be like saying, okay, so the Denver Broncos have lost two games this season.
We're not even in the football season yet.
Well, just go with the analogy, all right? The Denver Broncos have lost two games this season. At one point, they had a perfect record, and then they lost to the Chiefs and the Vikings.
By the way, his two favorite football teams.
Yeah, they played in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then,
right.
And so anyway, so it's not a contradiction. I'm just telling you that at one point they had a perfect record, mm-hmm. and now here's what happened.
Right.
So it's not a contradiction at all. That's the answer for Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
You know, I'm beginning to think that on the days that you say you're not going to make fun of me, I should prepare myself for an extra dose.
I'm not making fun of you. I'm making fun of the Broncos.
Well,
I'm using them as superior theological metaphors.
Okay. Well, I could see where you would find the Broncos as superior theological metaphors.
That's right.
That's awesome.
I wish I hadn't said that. Okay, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna do a listener question right now before I get myself into more trouble about the Denver Ponies.
I got a question.
Okay, listener question today: are the creatures and beasts described in Genesis that God created for Adam linked to us spiritually?
Creatures like ponies.
If so, what does that mean for the rest of the animal kingdom? How do they affect us, or we them?
Good. So how do we and animals affect each other in God's kingdom? This is a good question. We've never had this question before. I just want to read you some scriptures so you can hear.
Okay.
All right. Genesis 1.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.
So biblically speaking, we are created in the image of God and we are to have dominion over the animals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the word dominion is an interesting little word there. A lot of people think that means we're supposed to dominate them.
Right, yes.
It just really means
like
that
the Broncos do the Chiefs.
Oh, brother. The animals are the ones who we have dominion over. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so we have dominion over them. We're in charge of them.
Right.
We actually can care for them.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to use them for our benefit, but not abuse them. Genesis 9 says, every moving thing that lives for you shall be food for you. As I give you the green plants, I give you everything, but you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is its blood. So we are allowed to eat animals from God's word, but we're not supposed to eat animals who are still alive. We're not supposed to eat animals...
Right.
Well, it sounds funny to say.
Right. I could just see myself chasing after a pack of cows like a T-Rex.
Right. Well, it sounds funny to say, but God didn't want a bunch of humans saying, you know what? You know what's a real delicacy is this animal while it's still alive.
Right.
Eat it while it's still alive. That'd be torture. Exodus 23 says this.
If you come across your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to take it back to him.
So there we have the animals can be property, but mm-hmm. also that we're supposed to respect them. Proverbs 12:10 says this.
A righteous man takes care of his animals, but the wicked, even his compassion is cruel.
Okay,
wow.
So here you have scripture even saying, hey, are you a righteous person? You're going to take care of your animal.
Right.
You're actually going to have compassion on it and make sure it's healthy and feels good. Mm-hmm. Animals do have souls and feelings and thoughts, but it's on a different level than us. Their souls, for instance, are linked to their bodies.
Right.
Their souls don't exist without their bodies. Their feelings are very real. And I don't really have pets. I had pet snakes. But anyone who's had pets like dogs or cats, you can tell when they're sad mm-hmm. or happy.
Right. So to have dominion over something is actually, man, we put their entire care or their entire well-being into our hands. And the dominion over that isn't to lord it over them. It's to say, let's take care of these things. Make sure that they can stay alive and mm-hmm. multiply
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
stuff like that.
And it does mean that we are allowed to use them for our purposes,
right.
for our benefits. But that does not mean that we're supposed to abuse them right. and neglect them and just... treat them as trash.
Good answer, man.
They are living beings who have feelings and souls. So, all right. Thanks for listening to Truth Revolution. We would love to have you out at Revolution Church. I mean, you heard today why church is so important. We only got through about half the material about why church is important. So, I mean, just know there's even more out there.
That means it's uber important.
God wants you to support the truth, to be in his house, to be with his bride, the church, with other people that he designed you for, using your gifts to help those people and other people so they help you too know God better, be on God's mission. Don't reject God's mission. Don't reject helping other people and letting people help you be on God's mission too. We are Ecclesia, together in a place, doing the work of God together for the glory of God and so that people will know him. Come on out to Revolution Church.